The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you,
Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of the Lord.
Praise
be to you, O Christ. May be seated. There is no more important verse in all of Scripture than this verse. "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." We often pass over this verse quickly, scratch our heads as we do so, wrinkle our brows in confusion, and move on to something else. Something not so full of paradox. This morning, instead of moving on, let's focus our attention on this verse for the next few minutes. It is important, I think, to notice that Jesus does not chastise or criticize his disciples for wanting to be great. He does, however, want them to better understand what greatness is, and to understand the difference between apparent greatness and true greatness. The disciples apparently thought that to sit at the right hand of Jesus, or at the left, in his glory, would be greatness at its best. Jesus does not chide them for wanting greatness, but he says, "You know what? True greatness is something different from what you think it is." He goes on to explain that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. There is among the Gentiles and in the secular world today an apparent greatness that comes with being a ruler, being one who has power over others. Who are some of the great ones that we know of today? In politics, we have our prime ministers and our premiers, our presidents and our governors. In religion, we have our popes and our cardinals, our archbishops and our bishops. In music and in sports, we have our halls of fame, where we recognize apparent greatness. True greatness, Jesus says, is something else. The secular world has its great ones, Jesus says, but he says, "It is not so among you." This prompts the question, so what is it among the disciples that is great? Who are the great ones? Well, he says, being great among you is being your servant, and being first among you is being a slave of all. It is interesting that Jesus does not say, "Whoever wishes to become great must be my servant," Rather, he says, must be your service. That's why this is the most important verse in all of Scripture. It lays out for us what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus is to be one who serves another. You must be servants of one another, Jesus says. Not servants of God, not servants of Jesus, but servants of one another. Whoever among you wishes to become great must be your servant. The Greek word here is diakonos. It is from this Greek word that we get our English words deacon and deaconess. The root meaning of the word is to wait at table. The waiter or the waitress was called a diakonos. But this word, diakonos, has a wider meaning than serving at table. A young boy serving as an apprentice under the guidance of his father might be called a diakonos. In secular Greek literature, the diakonos was often one who worked somewhere in the food service business. He might have been a cook, or he might have been a waiter, or he might have had some other specialized job. He might have been the food and wine taster, protecting his master against being poisoned. Or he might have been a caterer for a feast. A diakonos is anyone who renders service to another. In his letter to the Romans, Paul talks of Phoebe, a deaconess, a helper of many. In Luke, we read that Jesus was served by some women who traveled with the disciples, and they brought food with their own, or bought food with their own funds, cooked it, and served it. They were diakonoi. When Jesus visited Mary and Martha, Martha had to be the diakonos and prepare the meal. Jesus, on this occasion, pointed out the value of serving the meal, but also the value of serving food from above. I am among you, Jesus said to his disciples, as one who serves, as one who is diakonos. But he describes himself further as a diakonos who serves the living bread. Another English word for diakonos is minister. And so in church, the minister is the servant of the other members of the worshiping community. And the other members are also ministers, serving one another. When Jesus says that anyone who wishes to become great among you must be your servant, he is telling us that it is okay to wish for and to strive for greatness, but then we must realize what greatness is. To be great is to live as servants and as ministers of one another. And this is true greatness. There is a second part to this statement of Jesus. The first part is that whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. The second part is that whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Again, there's nothing wrong with wishing to be first, but there are two sides to being first. One side is being first among the Gentiles or in the secular world, and another side is being first in the way that Jesus lays out for us. Jesus says that whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. What does he mean? In the world of the Gentiles and in our secular world today, to be first is to have slaves under you, not to be one yourself. But Jesus says it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Now the Greek word here is doulos. Doulos is a stronger servant word than diakonos. A doulos or slave is lowly, right at the bottom of the totem pole. A slave is hardly even a person, but rather a possession, a chattel, a commodity that can be bought and sold. Socially, a slave has no ancestors, no family, and no name. Under Greek law, a slave had practically no rights. A slave's opinion did not matter. Slaves were not free to make their own decisions. They were given their opinions by their masters. They were the lowliest of the lowly. In spite of this, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to be first among you must be doulos, slave of all." Notice again, it is not a slave of Jesus that one must become, but a slave of all. We then are called to be slaves of one another, slaves of all. Paul understood this. In his second letter to the Corinthians, he defines the relationship between Christ and the church in this way. He says, "For what we preach is Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your douloi, or slaves, for Jesus' sake." Note especially these words, "ourselves as your slaves." Thus the emphasis is not on slavish obedience to Christ, but on being a servant to his children, our neighbors. In the strange logic of the gospel, we can be slaves and be free at the same time. How can this be? Can one be enslaved and still be a free person? The answer is yes. This is the great secret of the Christian way of life. One is free as a slave if one loves the person one serves. This thought comes from a small book by John Schultz called Portraits of a Servant. Schultz explains that when slavery requires of one precisely what one's heart desires, then one is a slave and a free person at the same time. There is no conflict then between what one asks of oneself as a free person and what is required of oneself as a slave. To put it another way, if we truly love the world as God loves the world, then what those we love ask of us and what our own heart asks of us is the same thing. I'll admit this gets a bit complicated, but I believe it's important for us to think through this concept because it lies at the very heart of what the Christian life is all about. It's the golden rule, if you like. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be willing to become enslaved to your neighbor so that you will do for your neighbor out of love what you would be required to do for him or her if you were that neighbor's slave. It's okay to wish to be first, but remember that whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Greatness and being first are wonderful goals for us in life. If you want to become great in one field of endeavor or another, go for it. If you want to be the MVP on your team, go for it. But remember that there is another pathway to greatness, one that is totally foreign to us as human beings. Our natural tendency is to see greatness as the Gentiles did. Our tendency is to see greatness in being able to lord it over others or in having power and authority over them. But it is not so among those who are followers of Jesus. Our pathway to greatness is not one of gaining more and more power over others. Our pathway is rather to become a servant and a slave. Our pathway is humility. It's the pathway that Jesus followed when he came down to live among us. He did not come to offer his followers a place of power at his right hand or at his left. Instead, he came to be a servant and a slave. This is expressed so well in the scriptures. Describing the coming of Jesus into our world, it says, "He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." It says he became obedient even unto death. It says further that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And it says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who came down among us, and in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. And it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Not only was he a servant, but he was a suffering servant. Service ultimately includes suffering and death. It was a strange pathway to greatness that Jesus took. Because of his love for us, he became a slave for us. As our slave, he became our servant. As our servant, he became one who suffered. And as one who suffered for us, he ultimately died for us. That's what love does. Jesus walked among us as a slave and as a servant. He did it because he loved us. He did it freely out of love for us. For him it was freedom, the freedom to do what he wanted to do. Out of love he did it, freely for us. Are we able to love like that? Are we able to love others as he did? No, our idea of greatness is to somehow lord it over others. Instead of lifting others up, we are busy putting others down so that we can be great, so that we can be number one. But wait a minute. We can love as Jesus loved because he first loved us. We can change. We can be transformed. By his love, we can be made new. We can turn away from lording it over others and affirm that it shall not be so among us. Because he first loved us, we can find a different pathway to follow. We can find a pathway to greatness that begins and ends with being a servant and being a slave. Who knows where being a slave to our neighbors will lead us? It may lead to preparing food and serving it at home or at work. It may lead to feeding the discouraged soul with words or actions of encouragement. It may lead to teaching, helping, listening, comforting, giving, forgiving, mending, kneeling, holding, supporting, befriending, and the list goes on. You can add to it, I'm sure. It's all about greatness and being first. But it's about greatness that begins and ends with being a servant and being a slave. It is for sure a different path to greatness. If you take nothing else from this sermon today, take this verse with you and think about it, reflect upon it, and let it become your daily mantra. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Amen.